number four is from the Director of Department of Human Resources requesting authorization to incorporate AFSCME's collective bargaining agreement provisions into an amended various sections of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinance that pertains to compensation and fringe benefits. This is also being referred to the Personnel Committee, and there are numerous speakers that would like to speak at the moment.
Okay, let's get the speakers out, if you don't mind, and get the speakers that have this independent voice. I've always been impressed with independent voice, and then we'll come back and institutionalize it as an independent voice.
He wants me to
have the speakers first.
Yeah.
Extend it. Okay.
Kevin Scoffs.
Kevin?
We're registering against Penny Sikora speaking from NASA.
I don't care who's speaking. Let's have whoever they come. What's the name?
Penny Sikora.
Who is Penny? Come up here, Penny. Come on up here.
Is that the only one that wishes to speak?
Is that the only one going to talk?
Thank you.
Okay, Penny, you need to do a good job for everybody now.
I'll be happy to.
Okay.
Chairperson, supervisors. Before you, under number four, you have a 140-page document that is kind of interesting when you read through it. I've gotten through about the first 75-80 pages, and I'll be happy to go over those with you, but there are a few things I really want to have you look at, and I guess I would start with the first page under section 1.02. It has action recommended none, which to me action recommended none means nothing's going to happen. But then if you look at the little box underneath it, it says all newly created positions will be non-represented status. If there's no action, then it stays the same as it has in the past. So here we have a no recommendation, but oh, by the way, we're going to redefine the language. Basically, that's what that's saying. If you move to page 57... we also have the same language here, but what I find really interesting, again, is no language, none. No recommendations, you know, don't change it. Action recommendation is none. But then they say under here, there's an impact of the recommendation, which has always been in place, but now they're changing the impact to something different. And I'm having a hard time going through this whole thing and seeing that there's no recommendation, but, oh, by the way, there's going to be an impact. Why would there be a change in the impact if we're not changing any language that has been there in place? Again, if you go to what's the next page? This talks about the grievance procedure that has been, and it goes on to the next page, where the grievance procedure has been put forth before the personnel and before other committees, and at that time they have stopped them. And I guess the reason why is that if you turn the page to 66 at the bottom, there's that box. It says action recommended none. But now we're only going to be able to allow to appeal any suspensions that are 10 days or less. We will not be able to appeal. So that means that my supervisor can lay me off for 9 days. 9 days. 9 days, 9 days, and I have absolutely no appeal in place. This is kind of what stopped when the whole grievance procedure went through before. If you're going to have an appeal process, you need to have an appeal process that's fair. This one does not do that, and it's incorporating in this whole big document things that had been by the committee before. And I'm finding that very hard to... say that, oh, there is no change, absolutely no change. Action recommended, none. Oh, but by the way, you will no longer be allowed to fight any suspension of 10 days or less. This document is full of those kind of things. Action recommended none. Oh, but by the way, this is what is going to be the fallout from that non-recommendation. If nothing has changed, then why are you looking at changing the language or the meaning and the intent of that exact language? And I find this whole grievance procedure is, if you approve this, is automatically going to be how it is without debate about these individual issues. And I have many more that I can go through. I would like to have time to have discourse on this, that we would have a chance to talk about it. It seems like lately everything we've been doing has gone to lawsuits or the courts, and we're filing all these charges. Why can't we sit down and talk about it? We never saw this. Not one person came and talked to us and said, hey, what about this? Do you think this is good if we do this, or if we take this part out, or if we do that? We saw it at the same time you did when it was part of the agenda packet. And I would ask the supervisors at this time to lay it over. There's a lot in here, and a lot of it is changing. If you go to the back, is changing the county ordinance. 4 weeks ago, the board passed 15-3 an ordinance that said, we are going to follow AFSCME District Council 48 unless we change a specific item. That needs to happen. We need to have discourse about this. This grievance procedure is not fair. You could have some management person, I don't want to say some supervisor, some management person who would give someone, as soon as they could, 9 days off, and there didn't even have to be a reason behind it because there's no appeal process eligible. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them, but I would ask you to lay this over. Give us a chance to look at it. Give us a chance to talk with either human resources, with other supervisors, find out what's going on and why this is happening. We would ask you at this time to lay this over because this is a biggie and we need time to look at it. Having a 140-page document put before you almost 4 days, I think, because the packet wasn't out on Monday, so it had to come out probably Tuesday. So I would really like you to lay this over so we can talk about this. And if we have to break it up in sections, that's fine too. I would just ask you to lay this item over at this time.
Karen Mitchell, she's still here. Okay. I want to get you here, and I'll get back with you, Supervisor Johnson, but I want to get some things. Could you come forward, please? And if you can explain this and also explain to us if there's any financial impact on, she made a recommendation to lay it over as a financial impact for us to do that and also bring us a little bit more clarity from your perspective, please.
Certainly, Chairman and Supervisors, thank you. The lengthy document you have before you is the collective bargaining agreement in its entirety, and what we've done is gone through provision by provision and provided a recommended course of action. In some cases, it's to adopt that provision and put it into ordinance, and in other cases, it's to do nothing with it and have the employees treated as non-represented employees as per the civil service. So, generally speaking,
so let me ask you a question. So what you're saying is that this group of employees, based on how you have analysis on the contract, will be treated like all other employees. Is that what you're saying?
In some cases, yes, and in other cases,
are you saying that or not? You're not saying that.
Well,
am
yes.
Am I being clear to you?
I think so, yes.
You think so? We got to know. I mean,
yeah.
Are you saying that these employees, based on your analysis of changing and editing or whatever, would then be treated like all the other employees of Milwaukee County?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
From your perspective?
From my perspective,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. And generally speaking to your question, Chairman, about financial impact, the points in here that are related to fringe benefits, compensation, for the most part, we're recommending that there's no change to those things, that we actually adopt those into practice. So there are a few exceptions to that, but such as shift differential and standby pay, those are a couple where we are recommending a change from what AFSCME had to adopt to be the way non-represented employees currently are. Okay, so there are a few changes in there.
So, ma'am, are you aware of any changes in your contract that make you different than non-representatives?
Well, the grievance procedure that I just gave you is one perfect example.
Okay.
Every other
On the grievance procedure, is a non-reps, is it similar to that of the non-reps?
Well, the grievance procedure, yes, in the end, should the committees vote on agreeing to what we're putting forward in that, everyone would be treated the same.
From a grievance procedure as well?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are there any other, ma'am, that you could think of that, what I'm trying to do is to make sure that all staff from here forward are treated exactly alike until there is some change in legislation. I want to make sure that all staff are treated exactly alike. I don't want any staff to be treated any differently than anyone else. So from that perspective, that's where I'm coming. I want to make sure that all staff are treated exactly alike. Is that where you're coming from?
That's the intention.
What council, is that where we're coming from?
Yes.
Okay. Are there, Willie, Supervisor Johnson, you have any questions?
No, Mr. Chairman, I take it that you're going to listen to all the testimony before we...
I did that. I think she's representing all the testimony, and if there's any other, I'd be more than happy to allow them to talk.
If there's no more testimony, then I would...
I'd like to speak. I was trying to save my voice, but I signed up. I'd like to speak.
Okay. Not a problem.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, with permission, I just have a couple quick comments.
Okay. Well, hold on then, all right. Are you going to be talking to Steele, ma'am?
Well, I just wanted to bring up that she's saying that everybody's going to be the same, but if you look at the first one that I pointed out to you, it's making two separate classes of employees now. The future collective bargaining agreements and all newly created positions will be non-represented status.
Right.
So what are the people that are already here? Are they considered non-rep or rep, or what is their status?
I'll let her respond to that, ma'am. What would you consider the people already here?
Non-represented.
So we have nothing but non-representative work for Martin County, as far as you're concerned.
No.
Other than deputies. Regular staff.
There's some union representative.
Court counsel?
If I may, Chairman?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
We have several bargaining units still with Milwaukee County, one of which is AFSCME. AFSCME is still, as of today at least, the certified bargaining representative for their employees. We expect sometime in the near future for that to change. The WERC will be telling us sometime in the near future that they have been decertified. It hasn't happened yet, but it will be happening soon. Once that happens, then all the former AFSCME employees will become non-representative employees. Right now, they still are represented. But what I think the point Ms. Mitchell is trying to make is that what she's trying to do with the collective bargaining agreement is make all the AFSCME employees like non-represented employees in terms of all their benefits, all their fringe benefits, all of their terms of employment. And so, as she said, what this big packet does is takes all the financial terms of their agreement, the pay terms, the fringe benefit terms, the shift differentials, all those kinds of money in your pocket kind of issues, and puts them into ordinance with only a couple minor changes, which she mentioned on shift differential, where we actually increase the non-refs to match the AFSCME package, and then another one where we decrease the AFSCME to match the non-refs. We're talking about 10 cents an hour kind of thing. That's why the fiscal note is so small. On the provisions that Ms. Secor was talking about, where it says no action recommended, those are non-financial things. Those are things that the AFSCME collective bargaining agreement had that gave employees rights as union employees that we're not recommending, the administration is not recommending, to continue. because they will become non-reps in the near future, and eventually they would like all these employees, the AFSCME employees and the non-reps, to have the same rights on those kinds of other non-compensation issues. I want to point out that Ms. Secor talked about the grievance procedure. There is an entirely separate item in front of Personnel Committee on the grievance procedure, and it will be on their agenda, I believe, tomorrow. And so this packet is not intended to address the grievance procedure at all, because that's being dealt with as a separate item.
Okay.
And so that's still in front of the county board, and it's still the county board's decision what to do with the grievance procedure.
Now, that grievance procedure will be for all non-reps.
Yes.
Right. Because that's the way we deal with all non-reps.
Yes.
Okay.
It will be for all non-reps and AFSCME employees.
Which
and as well as... Well, all the employees except for deputy sheriffs and firefighters.
I got you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Supervisor DeMar?
Then follow up on that, because the packet that we got does refer to that. It will say see grievance procedure, if, and then it will state what the impact if that a grievance procedure is adopted. So if we adopt this legislation, the packet that's before us today, and, does that de facto adopt the grievance procedure? Or is it truly the grievance procedure that'll come through personnel, whatever is adopted would get basically translated back to this other document as well? Do you understand what I'm asking?
I think so, Chairman. I think if the county board acts on that separate grievance procedure item this cycle, together with this packet this cycle, or together at the same time, you will then have whatever policy you've set for the grievance procedure. Are you going to use the current non-represented ordinance for grievance procedure,
mm-hmm.
or are you going to do something different? And you'll have that will go through, and this package will go through separately, and you'll have all those issues addressed. I guess the question would be is if you adopt this package and then don't take any action on the grievance procedure, I think at least in the interim, the AFSCME employees would be covered by the ordinance for non-represented employees. But you still have the right and the item in front of you to take that action on the grievance procedure this month or whenever you want to do it. Not sure if I'm answering your question.
Partly. I'm really asking, in regards to the grievance procedure pieces, is this document subservient to whatever the board adopts as the new grievance procedure? Because the board may adopt the grievance procedures recommended by the administration as is, or they might change it. And if they change it and adopt it, then it's a difference, might be a different grievance procedure than the one that's actually referenced in the document. So I guess what I'm trying to do is find out how separate that is, and can we still adopt this even though we haven't adopted the grievance procedure?
I think the short answer, Chairman, to your question, Supervisor, is yes. There's no grievance procedure in the recommended course of action that you have a part of. In the resolution or ordinance, you have this item, there's no grievance procedure in there because it's been foreclosed by the administration in a separate item. If you take this action, it will overturn and eliminate the entire collective bargaining agreement with AFSCME, except for it will eliminate everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you still have the right to adopt a grievance procedure separate from this packet, and you can do that, and that will then become the ordinance that provides the grievance procedure. There's no ordinance or grievance procedure in this packet because it's in the other packet, in the other item in front of personnel. So I think the short answer to your question is yes. You can adopt this, and you can still adopt the other grievance procedure however you wish to do that. The point was this was not, the administration knew the grievance procedure was a significant issue. And so they pulled that out of this packet to be dealt with separately. This is everything else.
Okay. Gentlemen in the back, you want to save your voice?
Yes, I won't.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors. My name is Dave Eisner, and I am a contract administrator with District Council 48, the chair of the County President's Committee, and also president of Local 594. I still represent the employees that were formerly with Economic Support Division that are now with DCF and DHS. We still do represent them, although they're state employees. Penny spoke on a couple things. I just want to kind of just touch on and get to my main point. But, you know, last month the county board adopted a status quo ordinance in effect, And our understanding from that was that the county board, you know, put this in place just to cover so there wouldn't be any, you know, changes in conflicts with Ceridian as far as the economic issues that were in our contract. And then in the meantime, there was going to be some time taken to review our entire contract and then, you know, come back with some, you know, some changes probably. We assumed there was going to be some changes. This just appeared on the county's website where we could take a look at it earlier this week. We printed it out, and we still haven't gone through the whole document. No one approached us from County Human Resources. I mean, I guess there's no obligation to, but even as a heads up that this was coming, you know, to take a look at it, whatever. So we really haven't had a good chance to review it. We're looking through some things. There are some significant changes in different things. And the document that I put forward to you is actually the grievance procedure that the state of Wisconsin has. Now, remember, they implemented Act 10. And, you know, the counties and municipalities and the other governmental agencies are basically taking their guidance from this Act 10. Well, the state's grievance procedure, they allow you to file a grievance on demotion, layoff, suspension, any periods of time of suspension, 10 days or less or more, discharge, reduction in base pay. You can written reprimands, that's a disciplinary action, through the second step of the grievance procedure. They also allow you to file grievances if you have a violation of work rule, administrative code, or agency policy. So, you know, I think the what's coming up, and that's tomorrow, but is talking about grievances only related to safety. Well, I mean, the state's policy is very generous, and you know, I don't know why, you know, the county wants to do, you know, to you know, basically batten down the hatches on the employees and only allow them safety when, you know, the governmental agency that wrote Act 10 is giving you something much more generous. And I just wanted everyone to have an opportunity to review that before a decision was made on that, because that even allows for use of paid work time by employees for investigating, preparing, and presenting grievances. So that's very generous. But the point here is that, you know, we haven't had adequate time to look at it. You know, we haven't had a chance to talk to and ask any questions about it. And, you know, there is a meet and confer resolution coming up tomorrow before personnel also, in which, you know, the unions, and we worked very hard with the nurses union on this and, you know, some of the supervisors to get this through the resolution, that, you know, we have an opportunity to meet and confer on issues that hasn't passed yet. But, you know, that was the good faith intent of the parties when talking about this. Now, today, this is coming before you to be passed. So basically, you're throwing everything out, and we would have to start at square one. We would like the opportunity to not only review the document that is being presented, and then, you know, hopefully the meet and confer will pass, and then have, you know, basically have the ability to sit down with the county and human resources and talk about some of these former provisions of our contract. So as Penny indicated, we're asking that this item be laid over. Thank you.
Okay. Based on the grievance, I would suggest that you, it's on the agenda for personnel, that you utilize that and present your case there. And
we will.
To the reference of what the state said. But that particular agenda we have before us is a question of making sure that all staff are treated the same. I don't know if there is any negotiation in reference to allowing any staff to be treated any differently. I mean, court counsel, could you come up and share that with me, please? Is there anything that we should or can do to treat have staff be treated any differently?
Mr. Chairman, I think the answer to your question is that the county board actually has more freedom now than it had in the past. With the pretty much everything being a prohibited subject of bargaining with the unions now, except base wages, the county board can kind of treat employees pretty much any way it wants with respect to everything else. So I'm not suggesting that's a good policy to treat everybody differently. I think arguably the thing that makes the most sense is to treat everyone the same. But you could decide that you want this group of employees that work at BHD to get paid more than this group of employees that work over at the sheriff's office versus whatever. I mean, you really have complete freedom. What you're suggesting, I think, earlier by your comments is that you want to treat everyone the same. And if that's what you want to do, then I think that's what this package does.
At least initially, until we probably get more insight from representatives or whatever to determine whether someone needs to be treated differently, whatever, but based on what we have in our hand now, it seems like the only thing we have available is to treat everybody basically the same. So, Supervisor Mayo, you had your hand up.
Yes, sir, Mr.
Supervisor Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I understand you're trying to say that we treat everyone equally. I think that one thing that we have in front of us, we're going to do I can't get the word that's going to be coming forth on the personnel tomorrow about the collective bargaining issue, meet and confer. We need to treat everyone the same, not just throw everybody, don't throw the water out with the bath, with the baby. Right here, people want to have an opportunity to look at this a little bit more, because there's a question in there. You say there's no action, then there's a reaction. On that note, I would like to lay this over to May.
Okay. Smith.
Thank you. I'll think about the layover. A couple points I want to make. I guess one question, and I won't go into grievance because I'm on personnel. I'll be looking at that tomorrow, and I'm going to look at it, read some more. I presume one of your jobs, almost 24/7, been working on this employee handbook that's supposed to clarify a lot of these issues we're talking about. Can I ask where we are in that, Mr. Chairman? Thank you.
Yes,
now
thank
I got
you.
A follow-up.
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors. Yes, we have a team who's been working vigorously on pulling together a recommended handbook. However, whatever the board votes on or agrees to in terms of this will feed into that. We can't actually finalize that until there have been decisions made about these recommendations by the various committees that need to vote on it.
Okay. I presume that was going to be part of the answer. So this is essential that we keep moving forward. Now,
yes.
I'm interested, I want to say publicly that all us non-reps have a debt of gratitude to what the representative, what the unions have done over the years for all the employees, because we piggybacked all these many years. Anything that Ask Me got and the unions got, we pretty much got the non-reps. And it works both ways. We're in a situation now, Ask Me will be decertified, that we want to, I don't want two tiers anymore. I want a system that's going to make sure that everyone is treated equally. That's the only way we can go forward. And I look here, try to be objective about it, as I always try to be, I hope. But we say, generally speaking, the recommendation is to incorporate all financial compensation and fringe benefit provisions without change. The amendment also does not change the current pension benefits of any employee. Those are critical areas that I would look at. I think we've been in a situation now where we're all taking cuts together. I don't want to see any employees. The last two budgets have been basically based on employee givebacks, all of us, by the way, okay? And, you know, I understand the trepidation of many of our employees, what they've gone through. I think just like us, I mean, it's easy to pick on employees, and they're all lazy, and they're all no good. And we know that's not true, and we want to make sure we respect our employees. And I'd say that with a straight face because I think I really have tried to do that. It doesn't mean I voted all the time with Ask Me, but that's I've been always trying to work so we have equality in front of employees. I think that's where we're going to go. That's the way it's going to have to be. We have some contracts with unions, as we know, that we have bargained. This is a situation where there is no bargaining anywhere, and I think we have to go to a system then in respect and make sure that anything non-reps have gotten that we don't take away or don't punish in any way the reps that we have, the previous union employees. And I think this is where this has gone. I'm willing to listen to more, but the big things here, I'm not interested in two tiers anymore. I think that's where this is going. I'm in favor of that. You know, maybe we truly can be equal together, okay, and respect each other. And also, I don't see anywhere where we're changing in any significant way, in any small way, any financial compensation, any fringe benefit, and we're not changing any pension benefits to any employees. Now, if that's not correct, that's what's in this document, that's what I'm reading, and that's what I would be hoping that we would have. So, I'm done. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, ma'am, you're up. You want to say something?
Yes. One of the things I really wanted to point out to you is that we keep talking about non-represented. And before any of Act 10 got put into place, non-represented at Milwaukee County were either management or confidential. So most of them were the people giving out the disciplines to the people that you are now talking about. Now you are going to be putting them on the same level. If I can give out disciplines, and I know that person has no recourse, according to what is in this packet, there isn't.
And
the only public safety. Yes, sir.
On the personnel, in reference to grievance, that's where your fight and your understanding will be.
Well,
this particular committee is dealing with, from an equity perspective, of putting everybody on the same page. Now, in terms of the grievance, where you said that the state has some additional things that are more favorable to employees, that's where your fight is, and I support you from that perspective. But from here, it's only have a one-tier staff, and I don't see us creating any other additional tier when we have opportunity to put us all on one and then take and review things and then upgrade things and improve things from that perspective as one-tier staff. So your fight is not with us in terms of agreement. That's with personnel.
Thank you, Chairman. And what I'd like to say, though, is every time that you talk, no matter what provision that you're talking about, when you talk represented and non-represented, please keep in mind who the non-represented people were that you're trying to, you know, change and make everyone on the same level. And AFSCME District Council 48 has not been certified since September of last year. We have been non-represented since that point. You had to get your paperwork into the state by the end of September to be certified as a union. We did not submit that. We have been non-represented since September of last year.
Can I ask you a question, ma'am?
Sure.
Since that time, have you been basically treated fairly?
We followed the contract because of...
That's not what I asked you. So since that time, have you been basically treated fairly?
Basically because we followed the contract.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Are there any other discussion on this matter? Ms. Clark, would you call the roll, please?
On the motion to lay over till May, Supervisors De Bruin?
No.
Hale?
Aye.
Schmidt?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Roma West?
Aye.
Mr. Chip?
No.
Motion fails on the lay over on our tie vote of 3-3.
Okay.
The item is still before you.
Yes, Supervisor
Brown. General approval, item number 4, with the understanding that the grievance procedure is going to be acted on separately in the personnel committee. There, from what I understand, the grievance procedures, there's pieces of it that I do not support. I would also appreciate through the communication from the union on that piece of it as well, but for this item, I support it.
Okay, are there any further discussions, Supervisor Pickett-West?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. From my understanding, the union asked me got this document yesterday afternoon at approximately somewhere between 3 and 4. This is a 108-page document. And so, we're made aware of it, I'm sorry, because it's not necessarily their responsibility to check our agendas and our agenda items to make sure that something that affects them is being brought to their attention. And so I think the layover was an appropriate motion, and for that reason, I will be supporting the item that's in front of us.
Thank you very much. Are there any other further discussion on this matter? Seeing none, Ms. Clerk, call vote.
On the motion for approval, Supervisors De Bruin?
Aye.
Mayo?
No.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Roma West?
No.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
The motion will go to the board on a tie vote with no recommendation.
Okay. Okay, we're now on item number. Thank you very much.